And for me, like one of my really big things is about loneliness and finding ways to feel less alone, particularly when we're working from home in silos, when we're not able to go very far, or when we're moving. So we're moving to a location and we haven't found our people yet. Do you think that masterminds are a way to, having that regular time with familiar faces? Do you think that can lend itself to overcoming feelings of loneliness?
Oh, definitely. Again, ex-cop, you want to talk to people that have the biggest like need to be around people and camaraderie and feel like they fit in. We're talking to cops. We literally strive for it every day. It's one of the reasons that cops take their own life within 5 years after they leave the job is because they feel like they have nobody around. Which is one reason that I'm starting this, free debriefing group for police and police communicators, because there's that camaraderie side. You need some people that are outside of your inner circle. But yes, same for me. I'm part of a group that's all law enforcement, ex or current law enforcement, that have struggled with some sort of trauma or just want to come and have a conversation. It's called Power of Our Story. And I joined in with that middle of COVID, and it's virtual. And it was just because, again, it felt like it was good.
Hello, this is Rediscovering Connection, and I'm here today with Chris Chandler to talk all things masterminds. This is a very topical conversation for me since I am almost ready to launch my first mastermind in February 2024. So Chris has been on my radar for some time. I know that masterminds is his thing. So we're going to get under the skin of what is a mastermind? How can we use masterminds to really feel connected, to reconnect with people who are like-minded, who are going to help each other to grow, learn, thrive together? And does it matter where you are? Do they need to be in person or online? We're going to delve into all of this with Chris today. So welcome, Chris. Thank you so much for being with me today.
Hi, Shelly. Thanks for having me. It's good to be here. Yeah, masterminds have changed my life, definitely.
Hey, exciting. So why don't we go back to the beginning of your mastermind journey? Where did you start and how did masterminds come onto your radar?
Yeah, so my background is originally from Northern California, the US, and then sailed halfway around the world with my parents, then got here to New Zealand where I'm currently based, and then I joined law enforcement and went through a long, about 7.5 year policing career, doing everything from frontline all the way to protecting the Prime Minister of New Zealand. So I was a bodyguard as such, if you want to put it in layman terms. But I went through a lot of PTSD trauma and left the job, almost lost my whole life, marriage, everything. Then did a soul searching trip around the US on a motorcycle. Decided I wanted to help people with mental health through fitness. And so came back, got my personal training certificate, was doing personal training. And that was 2017, 2018, resigned from the police. So we're talking like 2018. I was doing personal training, working in gyms, doing boot camps, doing the normal personal training thing, and heard about this thing called masterminds, which is where you help other people, using the collective of the knowledge of everybody and having a leader who kind of facilitates it. And heard about it, started trying to do my own online one-on-one clients online, trying to do a little bit of my own mastermind, creating my own mastermind. And then I went to Date with Destiny, Tony Robbins' Date with Destiny. And then I met my mentor, a good friend now as well, Brad Hart at Day with Destiny, who I know we kind of connected through there. I work for him a bit now as well, doing a lot of kind of conversations with people. And my wife was actually his buddy. And he comes to me and he goes, "I've been doing these masterminds for a while, running masterminds and that, and now I'm going to help people build them. And I'm, going to run a beta thing in 2019." And I was like, "I'm in, like, just call me, let me know when it is." And so January 2019, he called me up. I was still on a trip from that Date with Destiny, and he told me about his beta program, his beta mastermind to help people build masterminds, and had some like 6 and 7 figure people that were going to be in it. And I was like, "I want to be like them." So yeah. And so I put the first payment on my credit card. Didn't know how I was going to pay it because I was making, if I was lucky, 2.5, 3 grand New Zealand at the time a month, and went, "Cool, I'm gonna go all in." We now fast forward, that was 2019, fast forward 5 years, and that mastermind, I just shut it down December 2023. And I had over 600 people come through the mastermind, helping people build their fitness, pass their police entry test, and yeah, do and build their mindset to not go through what I did as a police officer. So yeah, and then I run other masterminds. Like I got a motorcycle mastermind that I started up last year. So I think that answered your question. Before I go kind of
Yeah.
carry on,
And I love that. Like in our pre-chat, and you said about this motorcycle mastermind, because one of the things I wanted to talk to you about was themes. Because when I think of mastermind, I'm thinking business. I'm thinking you're going to be helping each other to, with tips, tricks, trials, failures, and what wins you've had to be inspiring each other, right? But tell me about this motorcycle mastermind.
Yeah, so before I jump into that, for your audience, when it comes to masterminds, a lot of masterminds are around business. They're around how do we help each other, overcome and solve the business problems? How do we make more impact more? And so, that is a huge thing with masterminds. It's kind of where it all set up. Napoleon Hill talks about it and Think and Grow Rich, Henry Ford and all those guys doing stuff. And yeah, most of the time it is. Now, I'm a huge advocate for mental health because of what I went through and have been able to help so many people with. And so last year, was it last year? No, it was the end of 2022, I think it was. I was like, I want to take, I literally, you can use masterminds to go on trips, like get yourself paid to do these trips in a way, all because you just bring together people that want to solve a common problem. And so for me, I was like, I want to take my wife to where I went on my motorcycle trip when I, was soul searching and refining myself. And so I was like, cool, I'm just gonna do it. I love motorcycles. And my wife recently got on the started getting on the back of mine. And so I did. And so we did this trip and it's called the tag is ride, grow, and recharge. And so it's all about recharging during the week that we do it. It's full VIP. So you don't have to think about anything besides getting on a motorcycle. Harley Davidson actually, and then I started doing research around kind of because I knew the impact that riding had. It's kind of a sense of meditation for me. So I was like, okay, started doing research, got told, hey, that UCLA did some research with Harley Davidson and showed that anxiety drops in a 15-minute ride versus a 15-minute car drive. Anxiety drops like 23%. Your impact, your ability to focus increases, obviously. Your cortisol levels drop just from going on a 15-minute motorcycle ride through the same area, through the same roads. And so I was like, okay, cool. So I kind of brought all that in. So that's where I kind of came up with the idea of let's do a motorcycle mastermind. Also with Brad Hart's help, I can't like not talk about him with his help as well. He was like, hell yeah, let's do it. He was the first one to sign up. He's the first one to sign up for the one that we have happening in September. So it's a full VIP. Every day we have a new topic, like new intention for the day that I'll set. And then in every night, we'll talk about what came up during the day's ride, which is normally only a couple hundred miles that we ride. And then we talk about that at whatever venue or hotel that we're staying at. My wife's an event manager, so she takes care of all the logistics and all
Perfect.
that. She's been doing
Yes.
she's done incentives for like million, for big insurance companies and other companies and that, taking, their top salespeople around the world. So she puts that flavor onto it. And so we stayed at some amazing places through, we went through Four Corners. So we went to Mesa Verde, all these things, but every place we go and stop, we mastermind. And so we'll have different topics, but it's all about growing. So the questions that are getting asked are different growth questions. And every person that we bring is the growth. So the whole thing is about helping you recharge. You walk away with tools and strategies to not have to wait for that next holiday or vacation. But you can actually recharge yourself quickly through just mindset tips, just through asking yourself better questions. And so we just mastermind every day and ride and see some really cool scenery. This next one's going to be up in New York during the fall. So we're looking forward to the scenery for that because I haven't been up there before.
Beautiful. And is there anything kind of before you gather to introduce the different riders to one another or anything after the mastermind to like as a follow-up to keep the conversation moving?
Yeah, so what we did is we just created you can do Facebook groups, you can do different things. We just created most people that were on the ride were all had iPhones. So we just created a group chat. And then we just that group chat still goes. Like we still message each
Right.
other and we'll drop motorcycle things in there. We'll drop some different wins that have happened, different things. Like one of the guys just got married recently, so he was posting videos and photos of his wedding, of getting married and different things. So we kind of connected that way. And then obviously leading up to it, we're sending out email blasts of telling people what to expect and what we're going to be doing, and the little, like, the more fine details than what are on the website.
I love it. I interviewed a woman named Josephine Palermo last week who runs retreats. So very different to this, but actually not too different in the delivery of it. And she's done a couple of them so far. And this next one that she's running, she is going to have three dedicated sessions afterwards to keep that conversation moving. But that's trial and error, and she's realized actually there is that demand for that from the people that come. And something that she also said was about the unlikely relationships that form at these events. And she was nervous at her last one because the youngest person was 19 and the oldest person was in their 60s. And she was like, is this going to work? And they ended up forming this unlikely friendship during the session. So, yeah, I'd
That's
love to hear.
the power of masterminds, is it doesn't really matter your age. You're all there for a collective reason. So, like, for my motorcycle mastermind, they're all there because they love to ride. We instantly have a common interest, and they want to actually grow and develop. So we're not talking your Harley guy who just wants to, like, ride and do hundreds of miles. I mean, I'm part of other groups that are like that. I can do 700 miles in a day and be totally happy and do it for a week. Whereas this ride is more around, let's figure out ways to recharge, let's connect, let's grow. I mean, we talk business as well. Obviously, Brad Hart's there. He talks masterminds. We had another guy who does businesses and helps people with systemization. So we talked some systems within business. We had a celebrity there who happens to be my uncle as well. I managed to get him to come along, Kyle Chandler. So he came. He might come on this next one. We're trying to get another celebrity to come on this next one. And then also out of the woodwork, a third cousin of mine came along who's Border Patrol. They came along, and my cousin was like, "Hey, I want to learn more about this business stuff. Like, how can I do stuff so that after I'm off of, I retire from Border Patrol, I have some sort of nest egg or something that I'm kind of going." So we talked one night. We just talked business stuff all night long. It was so funny. I think it was like day two. My uncle, who he we're sitting there talking, and he turns to all of us and he goes, "Is this an intervention? Like, is something going on?" Like, because that's the kind of depth that we're kind of going into. We none of us like it was just all the cards were laid on the table. And that's the thing with it, is like you'll get these things from people from all different walks of life that can come together, and they all want to help solve a common problem or struggle from each other. And that's the amazing thing with masterminds, is you can do anything with them as long as the facilitator can put the right people in the room.
Right, and curate the experience because it is a big responsibility as a facilitator, I think, because you do need to drive it in the right direction and make sure that everyone's really going to get that value out of it. But meanwhile, also surrendering at times to just allow what's needed to emerge.
Exactly.
So
So,
finding that balance.
yeah, it is finding that balance, and not pushing people too hard, and not but still pushing people hard enough that they get out of their comfort zone, and getting them to actually, getting people to actually ask the right questions and give the right advice, because that can be some of the biggest thing with a mastermind. It's not all about what the facilitator knows. It's about what each person can bring and help out with. Because when you're able to actually, do that, and people are asking and giving the right advice, which is advice that they've actually proven that's worked for them, then that's when the whole thing just explodes. If you have people just giving ideas and giving things that could work, that's when it kind of, I mean, yeah, you get lots of ideas, but we all have so many ideas as business owners and entrepreneurs that we don't need more ideas. We need
We want
solutions
to,
to
yes, what's
achieve these ideas.
flying? Yes, love it. And then, as the facilitator, do you feel like you're able to also be a participant as well and be kind of o open up as much as all the other participants are in that space?
Yeah, I mean, like, for my motorcycle one, yes, because I definitely have time to, like, chill and think, and, like, I ponder the same things that I set for each person each day. And then the questions, like, I'm an ex-cop, so I have a tendency to kind of hold, like, I've got to force myself to, really lay my cards out for everybody. But that's the great thing with like a multi-day one, is where you can actually, it gives you that time to trust. I mean, most of the people that I knew on the trip, and I obviously facilitated them together. But yeah, you do, because you can actually facilitate and make it so that you can be like, hey, actually, I'm going to put myself in the hot seat, and this is what I'm struggling with at the moment. This is what I need assistance with. What do you guys have for me? And so that's the thing when you do, like, for depending on how you're running it, it just depends on kind of what you can do. So you can do that. Like on the motorcycle one, we each, every night, we each would ask at least one question. And so we'd come to the evening with a different question. Got so much so that my wife went and bought, she found at this little store, this little conversation starter cards. And so one night we just literally ha started handing out conversation starter cards, not because we didn't have questions to ask, but just because it was just something new and questions that we wouldn't normally think of.
Right. And I've been playing with this a little bit in the work that I do, like different relationship deepening games. And there was one by a guy named Arthur Aaron, and he came up with this 39 questions. I think it was designed for love. And it was like through a university, came up with these questions, and you go through 15 minutes on each level. So level one, 15 minutes, very top line, basically like, if you had a dinner party, what celebrities would you invite around tonight? So that every time, if you want to repeat these questions every day, it's going to be different, because every day you're going to feel like having someone else over dinner. Then you set an alarm for 15 minutes, and it doesn't matter how many questions you've got through, and you ask each other the same question that you ask. So you only ask something that you'd be willing to answer,
Ask
right?
yourself. That's awesome.
And then you go down level deeper. So I have trialed this with a few people, but I found actually doing it with someone I didn't know, going down to level three was actually a little bit too intimate and a bit unnecessary. But actually doing it with people that I know was great, because
Well,
it's like you're.
that's the great thing with like an ongoing mastermind, or even like a longer mastermind, is you do start, and even those smaller intimate ones. Like I keep my masterminds currently at that, like, kind of that 15 kind of people. Our motorcycle one is maxed out at 8 people total. So there's a chase car, then there's, myself, my wife, and then there's about six participants, six to maximum 8 participants, depending. This last one only had one, two, three, had four participants. So it's nice, because you're all intimate. You all get to know each other. You understand, the little quirks about each other and that. But also, you by day seven, we're sitting there, like, we know things about each other that like partners probably have taken ages to get to know, because you have that time to get to know each other. And then you can dive deep into those. Like the conversations we had on day one, completely different to conversations we had on day six.
Yes, because you've started to build that trust. And yeah, something in my research, it is about reciprocal vulnerability. And if someone's willing to share, if someone's willing to go a level deeper and you're kind of going steady in stages, then that's when you can really feel the trust.
That's the importance of doing, like, when it comes to masterminds, that's the importance of doing your market research on the people, and also being really clear on who you invite into the mastermind. Because if you invite one wrong person, it can change the dynamic of the whole mastermind, because people won't feel that trust. They won't feel like there's that reciprocal there. They might, they'll stand offish. I've had seeds that I've had to fire out of my police entry mastermind, because it was just like, this person is destroying the group because of just their attitude around life. Like, they're just not far enough along and in their experience to be able to actually, or they've had past traumas that they need to go deal with before they
Therapy
come
needs to
back. They
come
need to go get some other
first.
stuff done and then come back, because they're bringing too much past trauma with them, and they need to, they need to deal with that. So, because otherwise everybody's feeling that energy, and people stop turning up, stop people, struggle to actually, share their vulnerabilities. So the market research side of stuff, and the clarity calls, and the onboarding is probably more essential than actually what you're going to be doing in the mastermind. Because if you have the wrong people, the mastermind's not going to matter anyways. It's going to die a very quick death.
Especially with that small size, right?
There's no hiding, especially, if it's less than like 20 people, there's no hiding.
So your vetting process, you would have kind of an application, you'd have a vet, you'd have a clarity call to like check that there's that you're vibing with that person.
Yeah, so
There's no red flags.
how I kind of run it, and this is what Brad taught me. You know, Brad's been doing masterminds for 15 years, I think now, 12, 15 years. I've been doing them for about 5. And so the key thing is first, like when you're trying to think of a mastermind and you really want to get some market research done, you really want to, you know, really want to have conversations with people and see what is actually needed and wanted, because otherwise you're selling them something that they don't actually want or need. And so you won't actually close anybody. You won't actually get anybody in your mastermind. And then from there, so that's like a 10-minute conversation with somebody just to get to know them, kind of like a discovery vetting kind of thing. And then from there, you're like, yeah, this person could do pretty well, but we need to get to know you more. And also, you want them to get to know you. That's when you do like what some would call your sales call, or you know, your enrollment call, or you know, clarity call, whatever you want to name you want to put on it. But that's like, you know, a longer conversation to really get to know what they want, what they need, and are they right for the call. You know, there's certain people for my motorcycle mastermind where I'm like, you're not experienced enough to riding a motorcycle, because we're doing long days, we're doing long miles, and we're not on small bikes. is kind of the big one. And then there's other people that it's like, wait a second, your mind is not like, you're more about speed and yahooing and doing dumb stuff on bikes. We just are cruising, having a good time. Yes, hitting twisties and you know, having fun, but we're not about like, let's do wheelies and dumb stuff. So, you know, those are kind of some of the things with that one. With my police one, it's been like people that like literally just aren't right for the program. It's you're not at the place where you're mature enough, or that I feel like you're actually going to make a great, like you need to go work on you before you even think about the police. You need to get some life experience, things like that. So you get to know those people before you join them, and some slip through the cracks, sadly, but most of the time it's pretty good.
And it sounds like quite a few of yours are in person. And I wonder, I'm sure there's a lot that are online as well. I'm just wondering how you find the difference between in-person masterminds versus online, or perhaps a hybrid of the two.
Yeah. So my main mastermind, that my police prep one that I ran for ages, that one was fully virtual. So we didn't do anything in person. We do a random kind of like testing day for people that live close by to me, that I'd kind of do it before they would go to their fitness test. But that was once in a blue moon. Whereas the motorcycle one's fully, obviously, in person. There's different things with different, like with each one. Virtual one, there's nothing like in person when it comes to the energy of people and that, but there's a lot more logistics that go with in person. I'm lucky enough to have a 20-year veteran event manager upstairs that can help me do stuff, and she loves doing the stuff. She spent like 4 hours, 6 hours the other day going through and looking at hotels and different places that we can stop for this 7-day trip. And I'm like, do you enjoy that? And she's like, I love it. I'm like, thank God, because that I can't think of
Perfect.
anything worse. But like with a virtual, you literally just turn up on Tuesday night at 7 p.m. and we're there. And so all you need is Zoom. And so there's different things with different ones. You know, you get good at, like, I'm really good at reading people through a computer screen now. So I'm even, you know, I was already good at reading people in person, but you just don't get that energy. And you know, you can see when people are kind of not paying attention with it, whereas when you're in person, everybody kind of, you don't, there isn't the distractions. So there's different things, different ones. I find I like them both. I like to do both. I like to have an aspect of both. I like kind of, you can do that hybrid where you're mostly online and then you do an in-person once a year, as a bonus type thing where you all get together. I did that 1 year with my police one before COVID, because I was like, hey, let's all get together. The problem is that then people have to pay for accommodation, they have to pay for flights, they have to pay for, you know, the expense to people go up. So it's just something to remember when you're doing it, that the clientele that you're hitting have to be able to afford that as well.
And I'd love to delve into length. So obviously with a motorcycle one, there's an obvious start and end point. But for your virtual ones, have you found a sweet spot in terms of length, duration, exit, and also frequency of getting together?
Yeah, so it depends. Brad will talk about this a lot in his program that he runs, Build a Mastermind. Is it depends on how long it's going to take them to solve the problem.
Hmm.
How long is it going to take them to solve the problem? And how long, when you're doing, like, how often should you run your mastermind? Is how long do they need to, to accomplish the tasks that are being set that they're saying they're going to do on the mat in the mastermind till the next one to make sure that they actually did it? Like, how long do they need to do that? But how long is not too long? So it's again kind of that trial and error. I found with my police one because it was based on fitness. So we meet every single week. And we would like do that. And we most of my mastermind was only 12 weeks long, because if I made it longer, people would kind of fluff around and not really care so much if they didn't have like a dedicated time of, okay, cool, you've got 12 weeks to make this happen. And so, that's kind of that. Whereas other things like business stuff might be 6 or 12 months. It's kind of with business stuff, normally it's that kind of 6 to 12 months. Let's get you into a year-long program. The investment's quite decent. So you're actually leaning more on the fact of, hey, I've got some skin in the game here. But then you're meeting, it might be monthly. I know some masterminds that like Brad goes to, in person ones, they meet once a month. Then there's other ones where they meet once a year. And it'll be one event every year. And you just go, and it's like an immersion. I think it's like 2 days long, and they just go nuts for 2 days. So it really depends on what your offer is, what it is that you're actually creating, and the problem that you're solving.
Right. And something you said before that struck me was about a decent investment so they've got skin in the game, so it makes them want to come, versus the idea of a reciprocal mastermind where everybody is kind of giving value to one another. But obviously there still needs to be a facilitator who's going to be bringing those people together. Have you any experience of more like reciprocal based masterminds, or has most of your mastermind experience been skin in the game?
Yeah, so I'm about to launch a free mastermind where it's kind of everybody kind of comes together. It's for law enforcement and it's called the debriefing room. And the reason I'm doing it free is because for a long time I've talked about the number one thing that police need is the debrief every single day slash every single week. And for me right now, I'm like, okay, I don't want to charge these guys anything for it. Eventually it might be a paid mastermind, but it's just going to be everybody kind of comes and does it. They're all cops. They all and I'll facilitate it. I believe, though, also is that people will get more out of what they pay for. Now, pay can be time, pay can be money, financial. A lot of times, people attach that, most people, unless you're a business person, don't think about time. They don't think about how important, much time costs because we can't get it back. But people think about the financial side, especially your blue collar, people, that are, making that are on wages. Because they're like, hey, I'm working 9 to 5, okay, whatever. But money-wise is a tight thing, especially these days right now with what's going on in the world. Money is a huge thing. So if you ask somebody who's on, $30,000 a year to spend 5 grand, they're probably going to actually make sure that that 5 grand goes a long way, and they're going to show up, they're going to pay attention, they're going to do a lot. Whereas if you ask someone who's making 100, $200,000 to pay 5 grand, depending on their relationship with money, they'll probably go, yeah, I'll pay that. And they may or may, they'll kind of have 1 foot in, 1 foot out, possibly. Whereas if you charge somebody who's making 200 grand, you charge them 10 to 15 grand for the year, and you go, or for, 6 months, and you go, hey, we're going to do this problem, they'll probably go, oh, yeah, that's, a tenth of what I'm kind of earning. That's a decent amount. I want a good return on it. So I'm going to put a lot of effort into it. So that's where, when it comes to financial investment, I think people, well, this is what I've learned over different mentors and Brad and watching different Tony stuff and Dean Graziosi and different business courses that I've been in, is people get what they pay for.
Yeah,
So.
I love that. And something that's coming to me that I've heard recently is a pay what you want model, or a pay what you feel model, where you have a suggested price for something. I know a lot of artists have used this for like music releases and things. But that's so that there isn't a barrier to entry, but at the same time, people, yeah,
So
would that work in a mastermind?
the problem with that model, it would. I mean, anything will work on a mastermind. The problem is again, it comes down to the clientele that you want in your mastermind. Do you want people that are like, okay, cool, yeah, like I'll pay, again, it comes down to the value and the people that you're attracting. But in my mind, when I think about pay what you want, it's like you're gonna have those people that are just like, okay, cool, I'll pay you $1 then. And it's a 10,000 is worth $10,000. Again, people, if you put like you take, for example, when I joined Brad, when I joined Brad's mastermind, I did not have the money. I put it on my credit card and I did not know how I was gonna pay the next payment, let alone pay that one off on my credit card. Do you think that I fluffed around and I kind of went, eh, whatever, kind of? And no, Brad said jump. I said, how high?
You trusted the
I
process, you
trusted the
paid for
process.
that method. Yeah.
And in 30 days, I made 6 grand.
Amazing.
30 days, I made 6 grand. And another 60 days, I made 20. 8 months later, I did a 15K month. So, because I had the skin in the game. Like it was like, I have to make this work because I can't pay the next one. So I've got to find the money. Let's hustle. Let's make things happen. Whereas if he said, hey, pay what you want, I've been like, okay, cool. Here's $100 because that's pretty much what I got.
Yeah. And then do you think your commitment would have been as high?
It would have been up there because of where I was at in life and just coming out the back of like events and just different the stage of life. But I wouldn't have had as much skin in the game.
Right.
And so that's where my belief is like getting people to actually pay that thing. Like my motorcycle mastermind is 7 grand to do it. Now, granted, 1800 of that goes to the bike hire. But it's 7 grand. And I'm asking, one of the guys is Border Patrol that wants to come on again. He's not making, he'll be made, I think he'll probably be on 100K maybe if he's
But then
lucky.
off the back of that, maybe he'd be inspired to launch a similar thing. Because
Exactly.
if you've
And
only got
so,
8 members, the competition is like anyone can do this. It's not like he's taking your customers. It's like there's only a few anyway, and it's friends of friends of friends of friends, right? It's all
exactly.
relationship driven.
Exactly. And so it's that thing of, putting that, but not making it too much. Because then, you're putting everybody kind of out. But again, you've got to think about, and this is where market research comes in. You've got to think about who's your ideal client. Who are you trying to attract? My police entry prep program, I was attracting people that are, doing like entry level jobs, waitresses and, retail work and that. So they're, so I couldn't like, I can't ask them to pay me 5 grand for 12 weeks or 6 months to do it. Also, the value is probably, I mean, yet I'm getting them into a job where they're going to be, most of them are taking a pay increase. So I was charging $1,500 to $2,000 for 12 weeks. At one stage, I was giving 6 months that we would do it for 2 grand. 2 grand, they can. It's still a significant investment, but they can do it, and it would make them do it. The ones that were making more, and I found this true through the 5 years of doing this, the ones that were making more and 2 grand was really nothing to them. They didn't turn up, and they didn't dive into it as hard. Almost religiously. Whereas the ones that were like, shit, that's a lot. Okay, how can I make that happen? Okay, the payment. Yeah, okay. No, I'm gonna make this happen. And they would make it happen. They'd turn up and they'd be the best clients. So it's kind of that's my belief on it. That's from what I've seen.
Yeah,
And
thank you for sharing. I think that's a very valuable insight for others who are looking to like jump into them as well, to know what kind of mastermind do I want to look for, what is going to be right for me. And even just to know, like, masterminds only came onto my radar by reading Think and Grow Rich. And I was already thinking about bringing a group together, but I hadn't thought of that term before. And then once I heard it, I'm like, obviously, yes, this is what it is.
I
Yeah, that
mean,
book was.
granted, again, I'm doing a free one. I'm gonna do a free one, but I'm gonna like it's inviting people in. And again, it will be those, I'll see kind of how it goes. And it'll be that thing of, hey guys, we're here for a specific purpose. If you are not participating and you're not giving it value as well, you'll be booted out. And
Yeah.
so there's that thing of that scarcity kind of thing of, hey, wait a second, I might miss out on this. And then it's up to me to make sure that the value is delivered that they want to keep coming. And so it's one of those things that, we've got to, when you're looking at a mastermind, it's that, okay, is it going to solve the problem that I want? But also, is the return on investment going to be good enough? For example, build a mastermind. I help promote that and I help talk about it and sell it for Brad because I totally 100% believe in it. No matter what he charges, it's worth it. And he like for a while, like his motto is he's going to help you make add $100,000 to your bottom line with doing 5 to 10 hours a week of facilitation, 5 to 10 hours a month, sorry, of facilitation. So the price tag, like if it's 15, 20 grand, 10 grand, 5 grand, whatever it is around that mark, it's totally worth it because we're adding 100 grand to your bottom line. And it's really like so that you can do things like get paid to go ride motorcycles around the US.
I wish I had any motorcycle experience because I'd be like, can I come? But I have literally never even ridden on one. Next time, give me a year.
There you go. And this is the thing. I have plans to, do a par I paraglide. I'm like, I want to go paragliding in Colombia. Sweet. How can we turn that into a mastermind? Like
Oh,
different things.
yes.
Like you can do different stuff. Like, Brad just approached me this morning around a mastermind in Hawaii. And I'm like, ooh, that could be fun.
I'll come to that one.
Yeah,
Yeah.
we'll let you know about it when we kind of do stuff. He just threw the idea out there. But it's like this is the power of masterminds is you can impact and make income off of masterminds, and it's not that if you as long as you've got, a little bit of a network or kind of know you what you're offering, that's the biggest thing is know what you're offering, then you can talk about the mastermind all day long and you'll find people that'll want to do it.
It's keeps Harley Davidson just keeps coming to my mind because where I live, there's a Harley Davidson just around the corner, and I drove past it the other day, and then after seeing that, I went to a cobbler's and there was a Harley Davidson clock there, and I'm like, there's something with this Harley Davidson, it's
There you
following
go.
me around. So there we
There you
go.
go. And the only
I need
reason
to
we're
go.
riding Harley Davidsons, like I'd much rather prefer like to ride like, adventure bikes and different stuff. But in the United States, Harley Davidsons is just so easy to rent. It's like they're literally every Harley dealer you go to, you can rent a Harley from Eagle Rider. And so they're super easy to rent, and that's why we're doing it. But it's also kind of that little iconic thing. Like we did Route 66 on the one in May last year. In 2023. And so it was kind of cool to have like all four bikes like all parked up on Route 66 with the neon sign and and do it. So it was
Yes.
kind of that iconic thing. And they're comfortable. I mean, to be honest, the new ones are pretty reliable and comfortable. But yeah, we'll do it on literally anything. I know some people that run kind of like masterminds, but they take guys all around the world on dirt bikes. And so they'll ride like different places on dirt bikes. I think it's this month they're coming down here to New Zealand to ride like dirt all through New Zealand. And so you can do this is why I love you learn the knowledge around how to fill, how to set up and fill and create that offer and actually run a mastermind. You can do it in anything in any capacity to your network that you have or to your friends or to the people that you know.
I'm very inspired. Okay, just wondering what have we not delved into? Is there anything that you're itching? Okay, so one of the things that I love to know from my guests, you've spoken a lot about Brad, and you spoke about going to the Tony Robbins. Are there any other communities or individuals that have really helped to shape the path towards like really feeling into that you're doing what you're meant to be doing here?
Yeah, so for me, kind of really feeling into that, like the people that have inspired me the most is will be Brad. It's Brad Hart. He kind of it's why I'm still friends with him. It's why he's come down here to New Zealand and we've done 9 days on motorcycles camping in tents and his bike broke down and he rode Pili on a mine. Like we've got stories for Africa to talk about when it comes to that. It's why he comes on all on my motorcycle ones, is why I'm teamed up with him. Some of the other things is, I mean, I can't not say it, but my wife is literally like, I honestly, yeah. She's the reason I'm probably alive still. Actually, definitely is from all the trauma that I went through in the police. But as far as courses and that, like, really, Brad's Build a Mastermind program has been kind of the biggest changer and added to my groups, added to my capability of what I'm capable of. I came into it with not knowing much about marketing. I was had done retail, so I knew how to kind of sell and get people to kind of do what I wanted to. That's why I was a good cop. but it was like learning everything else. I mean, going to Mastermind of Millions was really helpful, which is Brad has teamed up with Jay Facette, which Jay is Brad's mentor, who he learned from masterminds like 15, 20 years ago. And Jay's been doing this for like 35 years, masterminds. So if you're interested in that, look up Mastermind of Millions. Or I'm sure Shelly, you'll put my email and stuff down below. You can send me an email as well, and I can get you any kind of details on that. There is an event happening here soon, in May 2024, an in-person one. Actually, I don't know when this is going live, but there's a virtual one happening on the 22nd of January, which is next week, so in a week and a bit. So that people can come to. But so those are kind of some of the events. I mean, I've done neuro-linguistic programming, the Tony Robbins Date with Destiny event literally changed my life 180 degrees from where I was. I walked in there anxious and scared and depressed, and like I was feeling a lot better after my motorcycle trip. But I went into Date with Destiny and walked into 5,000 people and went, "Oh my God, I don't know if I can do this." But I have more willpower than brain cells sometimes, and so I just pushed myself through it and came out the other side, and I was like, "Oh my God, that's insane. I want to learn more." And so that's when I got into neuro-linguistic programming and then did my, neuro-linguistic coaching course and did all of that, which was good. But for growth-wise, honestly, the best thing that I've done is be part of my masterminds. That's
And for me, like one of my really big things is about loneliness and finding ways to feel less alone, particularly when we're working from home in silos, when we're not able to go very far, or when we're moving. So we're moving to a location and we haven't found our people yet. Do you think that masterminds are a way to, having that regular time with familiar faces? Do you think that can lend itself to overcoming feelings of loneliness?
Oh, definitely. Again, ex-cop, you want to talk to people that have the biggest like need to be around people and camaraderie and feel like they fit in. We're talking to cops. We literally strive for it every day. It's one of the reasons that cops take their own life within 5 years, after they leave the job, is because they feel like they have nobody around. Which is one reason that I'm starting this, free debriefing group for police and police communicators, because there's that camaraderie side. You need some people that are outside of your inner circle. But yes, same for me. I'm part of a group that's all law enforcement, ex or current law enforcement, that have struggled with some sort of trauma or just want to come and have a conversation. It's called Power of Our Story. And I joined in with that middle of COVID, and it's virtual. And it was just because, again, it felt like it was good. When I left law enforcement, I got into powerlifting, because not because I wanted to be able to, I wanted to, do other strong things and challenge my body. But most importantly, it was because I heard that the camaraderie in powerlifting is next level. I was following a military guy at the time that was powerlifting. He was talking about how it was. So I left the police and I was like, I've lost my family as such, which you do think about his family. And so I went into that, and it was literally, it didn't matter if you were competing against the guy next to you, it was always supportive. There was no put down in it whatsoever. It was always like, "Yeah, man, you can do it. Like, let's go." Like, you'll be screaming at you at competitions, yet you're competing against them. And so, because you're there to lift your numbers, it's not there, And so masterminds are probably with, now that you say that, is one of the reasons why I love them so much, is because it does create that group. Again, you're all there for a common thing. You don't join a mastermind just to see what it's about. You join a mastermind because it's like, "Oh, I want to solve that problem too," or "I want to help people solve that problem." So it definitely a long way to say that, but for me, especially being an ex-police officer, it's that finding my tribe is very important.
And what was coming to mind when you were saying that was Arnold Schwarzenegger, and his recent documentary was so told that story about the camaraderie of powerlifting down in
Well,
down on down on the beach in
yeah, the
LA.
bodybuilding, those guys
Yes.
back in the day, like they had that massive thing. The thing with bodybuilding, my wife's done three bodybuilding comps, is the thing with bodybuilding, it might be this day and age, or maybe it's just, more of that amateur level, is everybody, you go backstage and nobody's talking to each other. One, they're hungry, sweaty, and they haven't had a shower in 4 days. But two, it's not as. This is why I didn't get into bodybuilding. Like, when I left the place, was because from what I saw from it, it's not, there is camaraderie there, especially once you're back in the gym and you're not at stage. But Like, doesn't powerlifting, doesn't matter where you are when you're doing it. If you're at comps, if you're at the gym training, there's always like that place lights up at a competition when you're going to lift or you're going for a personal best. It lights up. It doesn't matter what powerlifting comp you're at, it will light up with all your competitors and everything as well. Which is interesting. But Arnold's documentary does show how, like, back in the 80s, and that especially with them, they were very there was a lot of camaraderie, especially once they were in the, when they were in the gym working out together, and they wanted the best for each other. But I do know from bodybuilding and listening and watching other bodybuilders, once you get up on stage, it's there's no supporting each other. It's like, I'm going to win, get out of my way. which is good. But yeah, it's yeah. But yeah.
Because I guess with the powerlifting, like you lift so much and then you need to put it down, you need to let your body like
Recover.
rest, recover in between. So I guess you have that time to connect with each other in between sets, right?
Whereas and power the other thing with powerlifting, different topic to mastermind, but powerlifting is it's one of those things that it's also not subjective. It's very either you lift the weight or you don't. There's no in between. Whereas bodybuilding is very subjective. It's up to the coaches what they see, what they're looking for, what they want. Whereas powerlifting, it's you lift the weight, you go through the movement, you finish it, or you don't. There's no cut and dry. It's very black and white. It's like you lift that weight, it like bench press, it touches your chest. They say press, you press it up, you hold it, they say rack. If you did that, you win.
You know where you're at, you
You
know what
know
you've
where you're at. Very simple.
achieved,
So,
you know
whereas
how
body,
strong you're feeling that day.
yeah, whereas bodybuilding, it's like, oh, is that muscle kind of right? Is that like it's symmetrical? Like, is it, like there's so many different variables with
And
bodybuilding.
your wife does
Well, she
that
used to.
still?
She doesn't.
Or
She
she used
doesn't
to?
do it anymore. So she did it for a couple of years. Actually, we've talked about it. It's probably a little bit of a way of like kind of escaping and stuff. When I was in my dark days, she was doing it, and it was kind of it was a way for her to like for something for her. But yeah, no, she did that. She did a kind of entry level, bodybuilding, the shape kind of level. So it's not the big like monster looking people, but more of the bikini type stuff. And yeah, she placed, I think her top placing was second. And that was, yeah. And then she went to her last one, and she realized she did her last one while I was on that motorcycle trip of mine, the soul searching one, when I left law enforcement. And coming back to the whole mastermind thing, she was at it, and she was there on her own, and nobody was there because obviously I wasn't there because I was in the US. And she's like, she was doing it because she wanted to, that was that kind of experiencing it with other people. And so she recognized that, wait a second, I'm doing this because I want to experience it with other people and nobody's here. And yeah, I'm kind of done. And so that was kind of her last one. And then she kind of was like, no, I'm done with it now. It's very hard on your body, bodybuilding. Very hard on your body, especially for females, because you get down into that low body weight where that low body fat where you lose, you'll lose your period. Like there's not really many bodybuilders that will still have their period because your body fat's getting below, I think it's like 15%. You start to 15, 10 to 15%, you start to lose your period as a female. Don't quote me on that, but yeah, that's so your females will start to lose their period because there's not enough body fat to be able to sustain a life inside of you.
Something that's just coming to my mind as well, kind of leaning into this subject, is I watched a podcast yesterday. Chris Williamson
Yep, he's cool.
had a journalist on who was talking about the imaginary audience that so many people are living their life with the back of their mind. So like some people would think that your wife, even though she didn't have anyone in the room, think about the selfies, think about sending that out on your social media. And it's like it seems as though she's actually really living in presence, knowing that it wasn't worth it for her not feeling like her people were there with her.
I'm a huge, so what I've learned through a lot of the masterminds again is doing stuff, and with my group, and it's one of the things that I teach on in all my masterminds is finding your purpose and your why. And so, I use the 7-step process, but I put my own twist onto it, use some neuro-linguistic programming stuff, and recognize that any person can go through the logical brain and get down to the level four, but it's getting passed into the emotional brain that most people can't get passed and into. But my wife, during COVID, she lost her job, lost like she was meant to be taking 200 people overseas, and on the day that New Zealand went into lockdown, and then like literally lost her job a couple months later. Well, actually within days, and then went through the whole process with them. But during that process, we went through that pro the why process and the purpose with her, and recognized that her thing is all about creating joy and experiences. And so it's also why she and I get along so well, because my like third level from the deep is mine is to create less pain and be seen, and to help people be seen or be seen myself. But it's mostly to create less pain. But my level above that is to create joy and experiences as well. So that's why we click so well. But knowing that after the fact of all the bodybuilding, you can now recognize, hey, that's why she didn't, because it wasn't about her. It was about the challenge for her and the mental fight and the physical fight, but it was more importantly about the experiences with others and with myself, and on the day, that's why she did the competition. And it was to give her a goal, but it was about that experience for herself and for others. And so once she recognized that, now that's why she loves events. That's why she loves putting things together. That's why she loves doing the motorcycle thing. That's why when we're on the trip, it's all about how do we create the best experience for these guys. So she'd do little quirky things like every day on the motorcycle trip, you don't even have to worry about checking in. It's literally, should we turn up places? She hops off the back of my bike and like walks back with the key cards, and goes, "You're in room 204. You're in making sure every place we stop, you're looked after." Figuring out, like one of the days, one of the guys, she found out that he had two dachshunds, and so one of the places that we were at, she recognized that the place had a dachshund, so she made sure she told him, "Hey, there's a dachshund behind the front desk." And so, like we've got this amazing, this really cute photo with him where he's holding this dachshund and it's licking him and giving him kisses, and he's so excited because that's her
This is
thing.
a type of dog.
Yeah, dachshund. So like a wiener
Oh
dog.
yeah.
So like
Okay. I'm
the
like,
dash hound.
so
There's those long dogs with little short little legs.
would we call them, we'd maybe call them sausage dogs.
Yeah, sausage dog. Yeah, sausage dog. The actual name for him is dachshund, or dash hound. And so yeah, the sausage dogs. And so yeah, so like she, but those are the things. That's why she does that. And so with masterminds, like she hasn't been part of many of them, but when it comes to helping me like put them together or put the motorcycle one together, she really enjoys it, because being part of that is that whole experience type of thing. So when you can recognize those sides of things and bring that into a mastermind and actually drive that, it makes it even more. Mine is to create less pain. So when we're on the mastermind, that's why the facilitating every day, that new intention every day, is so important to me, and talking about it, because it's going to help in the long term, help people overcome that pain.
Love it. Chris, it's been such a joy, first of all, to have you on. Thank you. Thank you for your generosity of sharing of knowledge. And thank you for the work that you're doing with this upcoming free mastermind. It sounds like that's a really, really valuable service for police officers and communicators in New Zealand. So I do have quite a lot of contacts there. So I'll certainly be sharing this around with those guys. Where can people find you if they want more of you?
If they want more of me, I'm on Instagram, Facebook, all of it is just Chris Chandler Yates. Pretty simple and easy. And yeah, for that mo that just so you know, for that mastermind, it's actually for anybody worldwide. I have a feeling that a lot of my audience is gonna be New Zealand and the US. But then the other thing that you can find, you can also get in touch with me. Probably when it comes to masterminds, the easiest way is just to email me, chris@makemoremarbles.com. And we can talk mastermind stuff and talk about that. You can find stuff on, masterminds for Brad stuff, like we talked about before, Mastermind to Millions. It's just Mastermind to Millions, all spelled out, dot live. So Mastermind to Millions dot live, or you can look up Make More Marbles, which is Brad, and you can look at Build a Mastermind in there, which is the program that I did and I'm still part of. And the nice thing that he does with that is it's lifetime access, which is quite rare to get a course where you can have lifetime access to help you build and hone and dream up and nail in things. So.
Yeah, and I do love the lifetime access programs that I've been in as well, because the content does change as well and
You
develop
learn.
as the program develops.
He's on
So
like the third version of the content that got me to a six figure business in 12 months. So like, you know, it evolves in that, but also it's more along the support side of things. It's that, you know, you will always, it's business. You'll always have challenges. You'll always have struggles that come up at different levels. So, you know, why not be in something that you have for life?
Beautiful. Well, I wish you well. I'm excited about your motorcycle trip, and I hope that I'll come on your motorcycle trip in 2025. See you there.
Yep. And if anybody wants to learn about that motorcycle trip, it's just motorcyclemastermind.com. Pretty simple.
Beautiful. All right. Have a great day, Chris. See
Will
you
do for
soon.
sure.